Now, moving from mosquitoes to our faces. For the average person, recognising the faces of family members and friends is a second nature. But for machines, it's a real challenge, although they are getting better at it. And this could be a game changer in the security and entertainment industries. With us to explain how is the Naked Scientist techspert, Peter Cowley. Hi, Peter.
Hi there. Good evening, Kat.
Tell me, how does a machine recognise a face?
Well, it's quite technical, but if I run through it very briefly, there are really four methods it does that. One is geometric, i.e. the position and size of the eyes, nose, cheekbones, etc. Next version is to add 3D to that, so that's the depth of the eye sockets, the nose and the chin. There's a photometric way of doing it, which is effectively taking statistical comparison between your face and one stored on the database. And finally, they add to that skin texture analysis, lines, patterns, spots, colour, etc.
So, how could this work in things like passports, those kind of security systems? Because my face doesn't look a lot like my passport photo a lot of the time.
Yeah, well, the big issues really in detecting are, one, whether you are looking directly on or not, or turning your head. The lighting, hair, whether you've got glasses on or not, which is why, of course, you have to take your glasses off at the passport thing at the airport. And also whether you're still alive or not, of course, because you could just have somebody could have printed out a photograph of you. But the ones that are being used, to answer your question, are, as you say, passports. In fact, Australia and New Zealand, they're already using that. Things like criminals in crowds. I mean, I'm sure the security forces use that a tremendous amount. Silly little things like greeting hotel guests. So as you walk in, it says, hello, Mr. Smith. ATMs to replace pins. That might be better than a pin, mightn't it? Et cetera, et cetera. And we already use them, in fact, because of these smile detectors in our cameras and on our phones that you say smile, and then it detects the smile's occurred and will then take the photograph.
I find that kind of stuff really fascinating, that it can see faces and all these sort of things. And you said the smile detector. So we're starting to see stories now coming out about facial recognition software that can detect emotions. Tell me a bit about this. What's this kind of technology?
Yeah, well, just again, a bit of tech to start with. First of all, we have apparently 33 muscles in our face, of which 9 around the eyes, 4 is on the nose, and 12 around the mouth. They've produced something. There's a standard throughout the world of facial action coding system, which is, splits into action units, some of which are really unusual, like nostril dilator and lip corner depressor. So based on those 30 action units and the movement between that, then systems are in place to detect one of 7 base emotions, which are joy, sadness, surprise, anger, fear, disgust, and contempt. So if you're looking at somebody in a conversation, you will have, you know, a pretty constant emotion, but they're also what are called micro-expressions, which just last about 50 milliseconds. And I actually tested this on somebody the other day, or I mentioned somebody's name, and you could see this look of slightly unease, and then a smile appeared after that.
Ooh, not sure. No, they're fine. They're fine.
Yes, exactly. They're fine. Exactly.
So how well does this kind of stuff work? Because, you know, some people maybe hide their emotions. Is this technology actually any good?
Well, apparently there are something like 1 in 400 of us who are actually pretty good lie detectors who can actually recognise the lie because of this micro expression occurring. This is being used primarily for research at the moment. And research, and it's moving into other applications, like particularly for, say, training autistic children about emotions, because they struggle with recognising what the emotion is the person they're facing. They start a bit of this robot carers. These are starting to happen
see
in Japan.
Someone's unhappy, well, or
exactly,
something, you know, oh, Mrs. Jones, you're not feeling good today. I mean, more on a more trivial thing, you know, could it perhaps say if you're chatting with someone on social media or something, you could go, oh, they look like they fancy you a bit, or a smart mirror that says, oh, you look a bit sad today, and tells you you're looking fabulous.
Yes, I mean, some listeners might have heard of Tender, which is an app which apparently is used by younger people than me for finding mates. But you could be doing by just looking at the phone rather than swiping either way.
It's quite a terrifying thought. I mean, could this have sort of security implications?
Yeah, I mean,
going on here?
The two big issues around at the moment are the usual, the sort of false positive and false negatives. If you start making decisions based on something that's statistically correct or not, and you get it wrong, then of course you're going to potentially make the wrong decision. You know, lie detector, for instance, accusing somebody of lying, they're not.
And potentially, you know, things like banking security.
Yeah,
and
banking.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. And then the big one that's floating around, which is in all technology spheres, is privacy. And in fact, I have noticed that people put post-it notes over their camera when they're not using Skype, so that it can't be looked at, you can't be hacked into.
Which reminds me, I need to do that. Thank you very much. Okay, that's tech investor Peter Cowley.